traditional harvest, yeah? I don't know about you, some here from Glebe. I remember when I was a child and went to Glebe, we would have barrelfuls of great big produce. We would have hay bales. We would have, you know, the bakery used to do these beautiful loaves. And it was just like, whoa, flowers everywhere. It was magnificent. And sometimes that traditional thing of harvest, that's what comes to my mind. I don't know about you. So I do have a few little prizes for those of you who had a little bit of relax this morning and decided to scoop through, what's this, scoop through your social media. Yes, who's been scooping through this morning? Oh, you were last night, weren't you? Not this morning. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking at everything. Okay. So can anybody tell me, but hands up, no shouting out. How did I advertise this morning? So, yes, you are first. Buy a pumpkin. Well done. Some chocolate for you. Okay. But you cannot answer the next question, okay? Because that means you will know. So the picture of the pumpkins. I wonder, who do you think grew them? Hand up. Yes? Steve grew them. Yes, he has no idea because he's not been on there this morning. His pumpkins are on social media. This is also the last courgette that Steve has grown big size because it was left on. If you leave it on too long, they just do this and then it's a marrow or something. Courgette marrow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I found my pumpkins.
You found your pumpkins. Well done. Yes, if everybody... Yeah, don't keep going. You'll get addicted if you go into social media now. But this is probably the last one that we had left. But it just reminds me, I suppose, the places that we live in around here, what you see in autumn, it's so tangible. And it helps us, well, it helps me to see what happens from something being grown to being on your dinner plate. And I just would like to show some photographs because this is what's helped me. Let's bring them up, Matt. So this is our greenhouse. Okay, I know.
That was what it looked like
in the summer, wasn't it? In August, I think. And then next to it is my saucepan. Can you see what's in there? Tomato soup, yes, apparently it was restaurant quality, said Mr. Critique. So, amazing, I don't know if I'll be able to reproduce that again. But just to see the tomatoes that are grown and then have them on the table to eat. And the next slide, please, Matt. And that's probably half of the apples from the orchard in the back of the car. And next to it is the apple juice that it produced. And so that is something that also has been on my table to have a drink. So my garden has enabled me to have food and to have a drink. So I say my garden, but don't you think what an amazing creator God to have given us so much that we can use with our intellect and how you do things to be able for us to survive. And it hopefully will conjure something up in us. I want you to think throughout the morning what it is that you are grateful for God's provision in your life. Don't know about you, but I've also seen lots of interesting wildlife, you know, going down my drive. The orchard is here on the left. And I'm thinking, that looks very suspicious. You know, an apple, if somebody takes a bite out and then puts it back, I don't know, that doesn't usually happen in our house. It looks like somebody comes along, has a little nibble, and puts it back. It's the deer. They come every night. You didn't even catch six of them the other day. And a couple that came for their breakfast. And they just come and have a little nibble, and then they scatter away. Oh, cheeky deer. But God is providing for the animals, the birds, Oh, and the squirrels. My neighbour had to tell me what the holes were in the garden that Steve was not impressed with. So, and I'm watching them. They dig these holes to put all their nuts in. I'm thinking, what are you doing? You were so cute in the summer. Now you're ripping up the garden and making these little... It's quite cute, really. No, it's not cute. It is cute. But God is looking after everyone in that. So I'm just going to read this verse from Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And this morning, we have brought lots of things. The things that you can see in bags are all the clothes that have been donated for Gloucester City Mission. And that is just amazing. And I think it is so much better than maybe some of the traditional harvest, because that's fresh produce that has to go somewhere and you don't want to waste it. This is going to go to help the homeless in Gloucester. So we know that God provides for us. I'm going to start by reading this verse from Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Meaning, if we put God first in our lives, he says he will look after us, and we're not actually to worry about what we eat, what we wear, or where we live. I'm going to bring that in full circle because we're going to finish with that. But I think we need to understand as God's people that he has promised if we seek him, he will bring the things that we need into our lives. And we're not to worry about them, which I think most of us tend to do, particularly when things can get really hard. Now, there's a story in the Bible about a group of people called the Israelites. And they were provided for again and again and again. I didn't always appreciate it, but God provided. So I have no slides this morning for this, but I know if you have watched The Prince of Egypt, if you have a beautiful illustration children's story Bible, the stories and the illustration should come to your mind. So I'm going to let you imagine, okay? If you need to close your eyes, that's absolutely fine. But we can tell this story together. So hopefully you remember the story of Moses, yeah? So we have Moses, if you remember, and God used him and his brother Aaron to confront Pharaoh, to let his people go so they would be free to go and worship God as they wanted to. But if you remember, Pharaoh was a bit stubborn, very stubborn indeed. He was not going to let the Israelites go. So if you remember, there were several things that came along in order to kind of encourage Pharaoh to let things go. There were plagues and awful things that happened. But it wasn't until right at the very end when actually the firstborn of everybody in Egypt lost that member of their family, their cattle, everything, that finally Pharaoh relented and said, okay, you may go. Now God then, this is the bit I want to focus on, looked after this group of people in a way that I think, I almost find it hard to imagine as I'm reading these words. I can't emphasize enough how he looked after them. I don't know if you remember right at the beginning, as they left Egypt, God almost had to second think about looking after this huge group of people. Because there was a shorter route. And actually, he said, no, they're going to go back to Egypt. They're going to be going into Philistine territory. There's bound to be a war. That's not good. That's the first thing they're going to encounter. They're just going to marry on back into being slaves. Because we need to remember what God released them from. They were slaves in Egypt. So he provided the right way. It might not have been the way that they thought, why are we going? No, that it was the right way to go. Anyway, God provided this pillar of cloud that was just over them, protecting them by day and guiding them where to go, and a pillar of fire by night. So if they needed to travel at night, they could see where they were going. It was protection, probably from wild animals. They would be able to see. They would have heat. It was an amazing thing that God provided. But then, I don't know if you remember, anybody remember what happened with Pharaoh? He changed his mind. His heart was really hardened. And he went, hang on, what have we just done? We've let all these people go. No, no, no. He gathered his armies together. He said, you go after them and chase them down. So what did God do? He provided then a solution. He parted the Red Sea, which I still think that I just can't imagine. Can you imagine walking on the floor of a seabed with walls of water either side? I just can't. But these armies were coming, and as people were going, that cloud of pillar and fire came together to hold back the armies until the Israelites had got through to the other side. And then the water was released, and then those armies who were chasing after them were drowned. So God took his people through the desert then, and they found some water. It was very bitter, so God made it sweet. He provided good drinking water. And obviously the desert, being a difficult place, very harsh, provided an oasis. So there was palm trees, there was water, and there was shade as well. Over and over, God constantly provided. We hear in the Bible, it tells us about this manna. So he provided, that's their food. So sort of on the morning dew, there were these wafer-like sweet breads that he provided. And he just provided enough for each person to have. And then in the evening, he provided the meat, quails. So they had something to eat. So he provided again. Now, this is the bit I love. Their clothes and their shoes did not wear out. So does that mean then that their feet didn't swell and they didn't get that hot? Because if you imagine hot, sweaty, large feet after all that walk, well, I'm just being practical. But this is how great God is. This is what I'm saying. But the shoes look just as new as they did when they started. And their clothes, well, our clothes wear and tear. So did they not get cold? I mean, Steve and I have been to this desert. We have seen firsthand. It isn't this lush, lovely sand. It is rock. It is harsh, you know. So the environment is really interesting. But God provided. He sustained them. Now, you would think, wow, that's so amazing. They must have been so grateful. Well, they did have some celebration songs, which you can read about in Exodus. But then, just as we all are, just as humankind is, they start to moan and to groan. And they were like, oh, I know we were slaves, but do you remember the food that we had in Egypt? And they start to remember the exotic fruits, the melons and things. And they were like, oh, actually, I would really like one of those. I'm fed up of quail. And they got a bit moany and groany about God providing all these things. They were just not satisfied. And maybe it was not quite what they thought God should be providing. He was providing. And so it's a really interesting lesson. They became impatient. Do you remember that they made a golden calf? They took all their jewelry and they made a golden calf to worship because they were impatient. Moses had gone up the mountain to be with God. God was going to be providing instructions on how they should live. This was really important stuff. And they went off on their own merry way to worship something that they shouldn't be worshipping. They weren't worshipping God. They were worshipping this idol that they had made. They fell out with each other. They were arguing all the time. And they turned away from God. So despite the way people lived, I think it's a really amazing story of God's heart for us. He still provided. There are consequences, and as you read this story, you will see that as people turned away from God, he didn't allow everybody to enter into the promised land. There were consequences. However, he still actually provided for them. He was good. He was a good God, and he will provide for us today. So if God will provide for us, are we like the Israelites? Can you relate to any of that? Do you find that you might complain and grumble? Because sometimes we're all like it. We all lose perspective and we need each other. And a service like today, I think sometimes to remind ourselves how privileged we are. Do we look with envy maybe at others? Maybe at what they have, and then what happens in ourselves? We become dissatisfied. Maybe you would rather be in a different house, or you're not overly happy with your job. It's helpful to take a step back, I think, and realise actually to have that roof over our heads, to have food on the table, is actually a privilege. But we tend to take these things for granted. And that's why being thankful and grateful is a really important part of worship and our relationship with God. And to recognise that actually we have so much where we live and we don't always recognise it. I think there was a statistic once, wasn't there, something about if you've got, is it a mobile phone and a roof over your head? I think you're one of the richest people in the whole world, because a lot of people don't experience these things. For those of you who were here on our church weekend and Nathan came to speak and we looked at mental health and well-being and how important thankfulness is in being well, he showed us a picture, and you might look at the picture and went, bit of a boring picture really, what's that? Well, it was a woman. She was sat in a chair, don't know if you remember that. She had a lamp next to her. She was either reading, I don't remember, or had a computer in front of her, I think. She had a fire going. She had some photographs up of family and friends. And it was to help us to understand about being grateful and what we have. And bit by bit, he just took away the lamp. He took away the book. He took away the pictures of family and friends, and it took away everything, even the carpet. So a woman was just sat there, just in a cold room. It was just completely empty. We just switch on a light. We probably don't give it a second thought, but actually to have electricity in our homes is amazing, because it can provide us then with something to see at this time of year. It provides us with warmth. Or wood for the fire provides us with warmth. To be able to communicate with others, understand stories and books, and to have an education. All these things then that come in out of that room that maybe looked a bit boring. But actually, the connection to the world through computers and things, and to be able to know that they're family, and you've got photographs to remember your family and your friends. We can be so grateful. And it's in those moments that you think, actually, yeah, it's been a little while since I've maybe appreciated what I have. And I know that will be the case here with Gloucester City Mission. All we have to do is kind of look a little bit further and realise how difficult some people's lives are and how grateful we can be. This is going to the homeless. Most of us, I believe, have a home to go back to today. And we can be really grateful for that. I think for me, the thing that always gets me is the shoeboxes. I can never remember a time where I've been with mum. Never. I think I've always had access to a flannel, to a toothbrush, and to some soap. It might sound so basic. It probably is, you know. But actually, those children don't have access to things that we have access to. And when you go out there, the shock is that you realise that box goes and gets shared between the whole family. Probably the whole family has that toothbrush. Now you might go, ooh, no, big no here. But actually, that box gets shared out. And it is a lifeline for them when we're able to come and do that. And that's what this is about. God will use his people. We are his church. We are his hands. We are his feet. He doesn't always just go, ah, somebody there in Gloucester, homeless, needs help. Pew! There you go, I'm providing. No, he needs Forest Gate Church, his hands and his feet, to do something about it. The same with the shoeboxes. He has called us to go and to help. But hopefully it's not about us feeling guilty or awful, but it's helping us to step back a little bit and go, actually, yeah, thank you, God, for what you've given and you've done for me. I need to go and do that for other people. Let's have another look at this verse here, Matthew 7, verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Are we not his children? Can we not ask him? He is a great God, and he does give us good things. And you know he's given us Jesus, which is the greatest gift of all. And because of that, we can read Matthew 6:33. But seek then first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of these will be given to you as well. So putting God first in our life again, and he will look after us. He said, please don't worry about those things. I even look after the birds of the air, you know, the squirrels in Louise and Steve's garden that Steve would like to shoot because they're making holes. But I'm providing. You've got walnuts and hazelnuts and berries. They need to live. I'm providing for them. I'll provide for you. You go do the same and provide for others. So we're going to ask John to come up and start preparing as we finish with some worship. And just bring to mind, really, those things that you just want to come and say thank you for.